Down here for a minute, because see all you folks over there? Hello. The advertisers would give everything to try to capture this moment that's so important, but they can't quite do it. Hallmark wants to kind of move us in the direction of this particular moment I have in mind, but can't quite get us there. And you and I oftentimes don't quite get to the place that we're after. And the place that I'm thinking about is a moment, and sort of personified in that moment when presumably, you know, the child opens the present under the tree. You with me? And then they have a look, right? We're desperate, but when we get the present and we try to set all of that together, we find out for some reason it doesn't quite meet our expectation, our anticipation level. What is it that's missing? And the challenge is that we think we're looking for something, but it's not what we're really looking for. See, the moment belongs to the child. What in our minds and what the advertisers and what kind of tradition will kind of push it off as is that we want the child to open the present and to turn to us and say, "Oh, mother, father, I love you so much." And this present embraces that feeling deep within inside me. I feel secure and safe, and quite honestly, you're the tops. That's what we think we want. And that's a nice feeling, but here's the deal. It's not what we're really after. And what this moment belongs to the child, and the child holds oftentimes what we're after. We just don't know what we're looking for. So it can happen unexpectedly, sort of like children in a manger unexpectedly. It's like the four-year-old. Maybe you had this moment. Like, there's the gift, right? The one that was the last one in the store. The one that you know, that's another story. But, you know, I got this. This is going to be so good. And you just can't wait, right? And they're tearing up the paper. Maybe you remember doing this yourself, right? It's so exciting. And, like, you almost can't see them because they're in this box because it's a great present, right? And all of a sudden they go, "Yeah, I found it." And you're like, "Oh." And they pull out this big piece of cardboard packing. And they go, "Yes!" And they start running around, and this is great. And you say, before you can correct them, they're going crazy. And you see the look that you really wanted to see. It's not the "I love you" look. No. It's the look that the child has when he possesses this piece of whatever it is for whatever intent it has spurred in his imagination, and immediately he or she understands that there are no limits to the possibilities of what may be accomplished with this piece of whatever. There is nothing that's not possible. There's no excitement that might not lie around the corner. Their eye in that moment are filled with wonder and awe and possibility, an unbridled focus and passion. And we want that so badly. Let's talk about it for a couple minutes. This is what we were looking for, but we didn't know it. There's a primal sense of wonder and awe in the face of a child who is so fully absorbed into this moment. There's almost no limit to what they may achieve, what adventure lies around the corner. You know this sense of everything is possible. It is pure, unbridled joy. Do you know that look? Can you remember that feeling? Have you seen it in someone's eyes when it just popped? Are you with me, church? Can you call up that, "Oh my gosh, this is unstoppable"? And it transforms us in a way we can't even begin to describe, because it's not about their relationship to us. It's about who God has made them to be and what they're discovering. But life, and this is the, life has a way of of beating us up, of beating out the wonder and the awe from inside of us. Sometimes you are betrayed. Sometimes you pour your time and your energy and your money into something and it just blows up in your face. Doesn't go the way that it's supposed to. Sometimes. Or you lose something. Or you lose someone. And it sort of begins to feel like there's this thin layer of hardness that begins to just sort of coat over your heart. It kind of hardens like a little shell. And it builds. And stuff happens. And it gets a little thicker. Something breaks. Something lost. And experience moves. And it gets harder. And you start to roll your eyes a little more frequently. Maybe you get a little jaded. A little cynical about things. Why would I stick my neck out for that when somebody's just going to want to just knock me down? It's not worth it. Never can get ahead. Not going to happen. And so you start to retreat, sort of gradually. And your arms sort of cross over your chest. And you become a spectator. One more spectator. One more observer, unaware that you are dying inside to catch a glimpse of wonder and awe that once fueled you. But now it just seems like that was sort of like a dream that you woke up from too soon. You know this feeling? Have you seen this feeling? Listen, I don't believe that's what God intends for us. As it's written in the Psalms, the psalmist writes, "Taste and see that God is good." Taste and see that out of our means our full engagement of our senses. Taste and see is about that there's more going on here than we realized. Taste and see is about flesh and blood and divine encounters with God, with people, with places, with events. You see, taste and see is an awareness that God is as close as your breath. Jesus invites us to taste and to experience the new thing that God is doing in the world. But he says that in order to experience it, you have to become, well, like a child. And there's a distinction between childish and childlike. Childish is this refusal to a hardness of heart. Anything that is not completely familiar, well, you know, childish is stomping your foot. Childish is folding your arms. Childish is nothing new here. But childlike, you know, childlike. Childlike is what we get on Christmas Eve. Childlike is what we seek to experience as we're in the midst of that season. Childlike is this way of being open to wonder and awe of what is around us every single moment of every single day. You see, out of our hardening hearts, we've created this pressure in our life that says we have to be right, especially when it comes to things about religion, about God. But if God's ultimate goal was for us to be right, he would say, "Blessed are those who have the right answer for everything else and nobody else." No, we talk about it, we put things in, but we lose that sense of being overwhelmed. And sometimes our institutions spend years before we create a night like this where there's some sense of wonder and awe. We've failed to oftentimes produce this movement, this liberation, this sense of wonder, and we've replaced it with being right. That's not where our hope comes from. No, the fears we're driven into hiding, that we, at any meaningful level, we can't quite re-grasp this wonder and awe. A lot of us have replaced it with blinding certainty of expecting a warrior Messiah when in fact there is a babe in the manger. We've made this mistake before. And that's why Luke reminds us that it was at a time of an emperor's ruling, a time of a governor's direction. There's nothing more certain than all of that, this is the way things are done, that in the middle of a decree, in the middle of an edict, God displayed the ultimate expression of wonder and awe. He came unexpected, undescribed in a certain way, unbelievable in a certain way. And tonight we gather, we remember, and we celebrate that it's in the midst of all of that hardening uncertainty that it's a babe in a manger. So maybe you'd ask, I hope you would ask, because I think you know it to be true. How do I get back? Where do I get that? Where do I find that again? And Jesus says this. He says that my followers are known by their fruit. And this fruit comes from having tasted love, having tasted peace, having tasted grace. And that transforms us from inside out. We become a new kind of person, like born anew, like becoming the person God called us to be. And Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, follow me. And he said it with this wide-eyed excitement like the four-year-old with a piece of cardboard going, follow me, this is going to be great. That's the energy that Jesus calls us with. And he's calling us to return to this childlike sense of wonder and awe and anticipation. I just can't wait for what God is doing next. As he reaches down deep through all that hardness and depth, and he says, follow me. It's going to be so much fun. He calls us and he confronts us. And with his invitation, he asks us to listen. Just leave behind all the reasons that you're jaded and bitter and cynical. Because let's be honest. Let's be honest. What you look for, you will find in this world. But he calls us to leave behind these reasons for folding our arms and becoming just one more spectator of what God is doing in the world. He says, come follow me. Move beyond that. We all want to be successful. But what we really, what I promise you, you want more than anything in this life is to have a sense of wonder and awe and a real desire to see what God is at work in this world and in your life. And Jesus invites us to this experience to taste the full, vibrant, electric life of God in which he insists, and get this, is available to each one of us right here and right now. That is unbelievable. He's given us this night of beauty, of music, of candlelight, of mystery and surprise, through which, here's the thing, you can grab whatever catches your imagination. You can get the toy, you can get the cardboard, it doesn't matter. Jesus says, come and taste and see, this is awesome. So may you rediscover your childlike sense of discovery and anticipation. Be open to the new things that God is doing right here, right now. And may you be wide-eyed and imagine, filled, like laser-like focused with wonder and awe. It sounds a lot like our Christmas carols because it feels like Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, forgive us when we make you boring. Forgive us when we allow the hardness of our hearts to drive away or to push away your love, your grace, your enthusiasm, your provision of wonder and awe, your very presence. This night, as this community is gathered and families are in the midst of all sorts of memories and things they're creating for the future, may your overwhelming sense of love and grace free them all to simply receive, to be childlike as you came as a child, to be filled with anticipation for what's next in our life, and to be filled with hope because you, Jesus, invite us to simply follow you. We give you thanks and praise in your name. Amen.